Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Today, what I have to bring to you, as I was thinking about it, like I'm praying about what can I bring to Nations Church here at 11 p.m. The 11 p.m. service. That'd be really, you know, faithful people. The 11 a.m. service is a raw passion for Jesus and his church. I was standing in worship earlier on. You can sense and feel the presence of God, the fire of God, the move of God. And my prayer for you is that it would move you, that you would have a passion for Jesus. You leave here today just changed, like on fire. I don't know, something's different. I'm different. I'm believing it in Jesus' name. And I want to preach to you today on the title, In the Middle of a Miracle. In the middle of a miracle. What if you are right now in the middle of what you've been asking for, praying for, and dreaming of? What if right now you are in the middle of a miracle, but you don't even realize it? What if you prayed today, right now in this moment, God, open my eyes to see as you see. God, open my eyes to see what you've surrounded me with. God, open my ears to hear your word right now, even as this Irish man speaks and I can't understand half of what he says. I gotta slow down a little bit. Lord, I pray that you would speak to me, that your Holy Spirit will download within me right now, that I will wake up and be awakened to the fact that I'm in the midst and in the middle of a miracle. I want to speak for a few moments on the book of Ruth, the incredible woman in the Old Testament, one of the only books in the Bible named after a woman, Ruth chapter 2, verse 1 to 13. It's a short book, four chapters. It's the snapshot of a faith of a woman who remained faithful in the middle. This is also described as one of the greatest love stories told in the Bible, a story of redemption and deliverance. And in this also, as any great love story starts out, it starts out in tragedy. What we see happen is Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi, she travels as an Israelite woman along with her family, the family of Elimelech. They go from Judah into the land of Moab, which was a pagan land. In fact, they worship gods where they would perform child sacrifice too. And so they were in such a desperate place. They come to this land. They have two sons. And one of Naomi's sons marries Ruth, a Moabite woman. What we see happen next in tragedy, Elimelech, Naomi's husband, dies. And we also see her son, both sons die in this great tragedy. And in a state of shock and grief, Naomi decides to go back home to Judah, and she tells her two daughters, you go back to your own homes and your own families. In this place, Ruth, she steps up and speaks out, and she commits to remain faithful. In chapter 1, verse 16, she says, don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Imagine if you had this spirit today. Lord, I will go where you tell me to go. I will stay where you stay. I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. The Spirit of God, I'm ready. I'm ready to move. I'm ready to go and I'm ready to stay. I'm ready to stand. I'm ready to speak. I'm ready for the Spirit of God to move in me. And what we believe as Irish people, one of the greatest miracles ever, is that she stayed with her mother-in-law. That's a bad joke, isn't it? Chapter 1, it ends with them arriving back to the land of Judah. They enter into the town of Bethlehem, which was the town in which Jesus was born. And we celebrate in Christmas. And Ruth is part of the lineage of Jesus, in which we'll soon see. And it begins in verse 1. Now, Naomi had a relative on her husband's side, a man of standing from the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. For me, personally, my favorite name in the Bible is Boaz. Why? Because my name is Sean Booth, and I got four boys, and I've been trying to convince my wife we should call one of our boys Boaz Booth. I just thought that would be the greatest name on earth. Imagine like walking onto the playground like, I'm Boaz Booth. Boaz, even as you say the name, it actually means strength within him. He was a man with strength within him. And we see Boaz actually his incredible story of God's redemption, because Boaz was the son of Rahab. Rahab was the prostitute, and which was rescued from the walls of Jericho before the collapse by Joshua. And so what we see happen is this woman, this prostitute, brought into the land of Israel, has this son, Boaz. And Boaz now is known as this wealthy landowner, this man of God, this man with strength within him. And what we see in verse 2, it says, Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor. Naomi said to her, go ahead, my daughter. So she went out, entered a field, and began to glean behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she was working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Just then, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. The Lord be with you. The Lord bless you, they answered. Boaz asked the overseer of his harvesters, who does that young woman belong to? The overseer replied, she is the Moabite who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters. She came into the field and has remained here from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter. Boaz has a conversation with Ruth. He says, don't go from here. Stay here. I'm going to protect you. I will provide for you. And she asks in verse 10, why have I found such favor in your eyes? In verse 11, he tells her, I've been told all about what you've done for your mother-in-law. I've been told what about your faithfulness, that your faithfulness and the testimony of your faithfulness has gone before you. And he says, may the Lord repay you for that which you have done. We serve a God who rewards us for us remaining faithful. We serve a God that says that one day when we enter into his open arms, he will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful. You have remained. You have stood even in the middle. You have remained. And she responds, may I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord. And we see that they did. They fall in love. Ruth and Boaz, they get married, and then Ruth becomes the great-grandmother of King David. Then mentioned in Matthew chapter 1 as only one of two women in the lineage of Jesus, which was Rahab and Ruth. What an incredible story of redemption and remaining faithful. Here's what's important. Ruth was searching for a miracle of provision. A miracle out of a desperate need, out of a place of hunger. Funny, we only meet God when we come to him in hunger. We only come to him in our desire, out of our desperation. I need you, God. It's the story of our salvation. When we get to the end of ourselves, that's where we find God. But here's what's also important. She was searching for a miracle, not just for herself, but for her mother-in-law. The greatest of miracles that we search for is not just for self, but for others. Not just for nation, but for nations. Not just for our community, but our city and our country and the world. That when you look beyond yourself to see God, not just do a miracle and a work within me, but do a miracle and a work within those around me. And what did she do in searching for a miracle? She moved. She went out to find it, to search it. We're all waiting on a move of God. William Booth, who is no relation to mine, but I still claim that he's my great-grandfather. He said that we are not waiting on a move of God, for we are a move of God. We are a move of God. That she went out, she searched for the miracle, she moved before she chose to walk faithfully while God was working it out. Verse 2 says, she goes to Naomi, she says, let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor. In this culture, the poor and needy, the social welfare system was that the harvesters would be going and to be harvesting the grain, and then those would come before them, the poor and needy, and they would glean from them by picking up the scraps of the grains coming up before, bent over in the burning sun, picking up, working hard out of a desperation, out of a searching for God to perform a miracle. This process was about finding the leftovers. She had a need. She went to find it, and she did what most of us, and this is my personal battle so often, because I tend to wallow in self-pity. Does anyone ever do that? In Ireland, it's one of our favorite pastimes to complain. We are professional complainers. We love to grumble about everything. God, why are you? God, why won't you? God, why not me? All the things that comes up in our battle, in our faith, and in our breakthroughs, but rather we should be like Ruth and not rather being wallowing self-pity, but not being reluctant, but going out and being willing to do what it takes. And she finds herself in the middle of a miracle. We are all searching for something. You came today out of a place of obedience, of faithfulness. I believe God honors that. Some of you maybe today you've come searching to find out what is the answer of life and starting out in the journey of your faith. Some of us today are searching, looking for a miracle. Yeah. Miracle of provision. Miracle of an open door, an opportunity, maybe a partner, maybe a home, maybe for you to have a greater future than what is before you, maybe for you to map out a path that your children can follow towards and have a greater life than what you have lived. And so we're all searching for something. We're all searching for fulfillment. We, in the Christian life, it's not a life of perfection, but rather progression and moving towards becoming more in the image and likeness of Christ, moving towards that which He has for us, which is so much more than what we're experiencing. And I want to ask you today, what if you are bold enough to believe that God will provide that which you are asking for? What if you were to stand out and step out in the middle, believing it will be so? Believing I'm standing on God's word. Do you know what we declare in Ireland? We will see our nation saved. We will see revival. You know, it's easy to say it when you're seeing it. It's a whole other thing to say it when you're the only one saying it and you see nothing. In fact, you see the opposite of it. What is God calling you today to believe in, to trust in, to believe that God will work it out? You won't. All He's calling you to do is to walk it out. And I found that it's in the middle where things often look the exact opposite of that which we are praying for. It looks the exact opposite of that, the way in which we thought it was going to work out. And we're like, God, I asked for this and you said, and yeah, I thought it was going to happen by this time, but now it looks complete opposite. But you've got to trust God in the process of performing the miracle. Verse 3 says, so she went out, entered a field, and began to glean behind the harvesters. As it turned out. Four incredible words. As it turned out, she was working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. As it turned out, miracles are more than a coincidence. It wasn't a coincidence. It was a God incident. As it turned out, you know, when you've been praying for and experiencing a sickness or an ailment or a disease, and you come and maybe you found yourself standing up here at the altar, receiving the laying of hands, the anointing of oil, and you're believing and praying for healing, and then you go to the doctor, or over months or a period of years, you are experiencing that the sickness is gone. That wasn't a coincidence. That was God. When you're in a place of desperation for financial need and feeling like debt is drowning you and you're being completely in bondage, it feels like it's breaking your back, and you're praying out and you're crying out to God for opportunity and provision, and now you're sitting here today living in Perth in a beautiful church, sitting in a comfortable air-conned room, that wasn't a coincidence. That was God. That was God. You see, we've got to open our eyes to see the miracles that are already before us and how God has already moved, and actually having a faith to look back and see, God, you moved then, will you move now, and will you continue moving? Will you continue moving when you're experiencing maybe in your family sin and shame and so much devastation and a repetition of alcohol and addiction and drug abuse and sexual promiscuity and all the different, you know, identity issues and problems, and you're standing on the ground on the word of God, believing that God will move, he will make a way, he will perform salvation. Why? Because I've seen him do it before. God, I believe that you will do it again. You will do it again. Where is God calling you right now to just stand up in a boldness and believe and go, I'm believing that God's working out. I'm believing I will see a miracle. I believe that I will see it come to pass right up until the last moment. Because as it turns out, God's working in the details. He's working in the details. We want to be control freaks. We want to see, as we've planted in the ground, we want to see the roots go deeper and wonder, you know, to see it come to form exactly when we come to form. But no, you've got to plant it in the ground and you got to leave it there and trust that God will work it out. God will bring it to bear fruit. As it turned out, we see the Ruth, she's working in the field of Boaz, picking up scraps, all the while God was at work. Verse 4, just then, Boaz arrived. Often God meets us in the middle. He meets us in the middle. We step out into the unknown, into the uncomfortability, into the uncertain. We step out and we look around and all our friends have left us. We step out and we find out, how did I end up here? We step out into the place where we left the church full of faith and we're like, I'm going to do it. It's going to be new and God's going to change it. And all of a sudden we stepped out and the feelings are gone. It feels like there's no faith and we're in the middle. That's where God often meets us. I believe My testimony today that I want you to hear is not a man of great faith. It's a man with a great God. That even in his goodness and his grace, when we don't deserve it, but God, out of his grace, lavished his mercy upon us. Even though I don't deserve it, he still chooses to pour it out. There's been so many times in my life, my family, in our church, through different situations, it feels like it more times than not, we've been crying out to God for a miracle and feeling like it wasn't going to take place. Feeling like giving up. You ever felt like giving up? Yeah. Ever felt like I'm sick of praying this? I've been praying this for years and years and years. You ever went and told someone that your prayer was going to come to pass and it feels like it's not? But we experienced this in our own life. Got four boys, but number three, Isaac, when it was the 20-week scan, they found out that actually that he was not, you know, wasn't coming to form. And they told us that, you know, would be best option to terminate. And they were saying that if you would, you know, allow him to grow, he would grow with deformities and would not have a good, you know, condition of life. And so we believed in that moment, we're getting ready to plant our church in Dublin about 2 months later. And we believed God was calling us to believe for a miracle. And we walked that out and worked that out with God and going through that. And Isaac was born and he was born beautiful. Hold him in the arms. First time I had two other boys, I checked every inch of his body. Just checking that everything was there. Counting five fingers, five toes. But he was born with his feet were turned inwards and he had lots of problems in his legs and he had to have multiple surgeries and wear casts and restraints every night for the first 5 years, and also he had intestinal problems and he was in and out of the hospital for the first 6 months of his life. And at the end of that 6 months, we found out that he has a hole in his heart. And they went to perform keyhole surgery, and it was unsuccessful, and the doctor had to sit with us and tell us these words that is a nightmare to a parent, that we're going to have to perform open heart surgery on Isaac. And that's a horrible picture that you have as they describe how they will crack open his chest, and there's so many different infections and things that can go wrong. But in Ireland, we have a health system that they tell you that, and then they put you on a list and say, we'll call you. And so that was the situation, and they gave us the medicine, they sent us home. There was a 6 months old, 9 months old, a year old, 18 months old, no operation. And what we see in that time is health began to deteriorate, and where he got to the point as COVID had happened in April, May, and June, he began sleeping 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 hours, and the rest of the time was where he was just sweating profusely, and the medicine was no longer working in which they'd given us, and also he was just listless and lifeless. Yeah. And it was a really difficult place to be in because, you know, you're believing for God to work a miracle. But the miracle that you're believing God for is dying before your very eyes. That's a hard place to be. But you said, God. But I thought you would, God. But my life was going here, and now it's here. It's those times when the scripture, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Only when you walk through the valley of shadow of death do you know what it's described, is described in scripture. You know what its experience is. But it's only in the valley where great things are going. It's only in the valley where the miracles take place, because they need to take place in here before they ever take place around you. And we at that point, COVID had happened, and we had lots of different fights with the doctors, and we ended up staying in the hospital saying we're not leaving until you do the surgery. And eventually, my wife in particular, Miss Lioness, you know, she's fierce. She'll fight you, because sometimes you got to fight for your miracles. Sometimes you got to persevere. You know, you're experiencing suffering. What's that suffering going to produce? Perseverance, which will produce character, which will prepare you for the man and the woman in which God has called you to be able to see and seize and take hold of the miracle he's calling you to believe in. Yeah, so good. And Isaac has the surgery eventually, 4 or 5 hours, handing him over. And our prayer was also, God, whether supernaturally or naturally, will you heal him? Yeah. And of course, the surgery was successful. And that was just the beginning, because the beginning of the healing process, and you're seeing your son struggle to keep up with his brothers, and, you know, struggling to walk and all the different things that he's going through. But my wife sent me a photo of him just the last few days. This is Isaac on the right-hand side. That's Isaac, and he's tall, strong, plays football a year above himself because he's fierce, he's fitter, he's stronger, and he is healthy, and he is our miracle. He is our testimony to God, and that's his little brother Boaz beside him, which we call him the fourth and final. There's no more. Hey, you know, sometimes, and I really want to encourage you, sometimes when we talk about the miraculous, we think it's for the super spiritual. Sometimes when we talk about the miraculous, we think it's about all these great things that we read in scripture and we see in other people's lives. But the miraculous for you might be your son or daughter who's walking down the path of destruction, and your prayer and your miracle is that you see them standing here in this room, surrendering to Jesus Christ, experience salvation. That's a miracle. A miracle may be your marriage that feels like it's falling apart, void of intimacy or any sexual relationship whatsoever. And then all of a sudden, bang, you meet into each other, you fall back in love with one another. All of a sudden, you're serving God, serving together, and you're experiencing this complete restoration in your marriage. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. Maybe you're at the place where you're wondering, I've been sitting in this church for years. I've seen everyone else go through their miracle. Maybe you've been in this place where you've served God. You've been faithful. You've been like Ruth. You've been obedient. But yet you're saying, God, I haven't seen it come to pass. Maybe the miracle is for you actually to see it in the spiritual before the physical. Maybe it's you in this place to be one of belief and boldness and actually go, you know what? It's not about me. It's about others. And when I begin stepping out and reaching now, not for a miracle just for myself, but now for my mother-in-law, you, that's when you know you're really spiritual. Now for your mother-in-law, now for your family, now for your loved ones, your neighbors, your colleagues, those in your school, those in your place of education, those who don't deserve to be loved. Since I've come here, I've heard a lot about education, socialism. Heard a lot about what's wrong. Maybe God's called you to be the one who makes it right. Maybe God's called you to not come to church, but to be the church. Maybe God's called you to stand up in your society and be a Christian who stands strong, who lives a life of service to God. He sent me here. He's not sending anyone else. He sent you. He sent me. That's all that our community needs. And maybe it's time for you just to rise up and believe it and to stand strong in it. As it turned out, God was working out a miracle. And just then, he brings Boaz into her life. I believe that God is going to bring strength into your life, strength into your marriage, strength into your health, strength into your career, strength into your faith and your passion for Jesus, strength into your faith for the church. Believing that the church is alive and I am the church and Christ is alive in me. Therefore, when I'm in my community, when I'm in the midst of the mistakes, the monotonous, the mundane, that God is working out the miraculous in me, through me. Here's what is so important about Ruth. Ruth did what? It says in verse 7, as he says, who is that woman? She says, she's the one who said, please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvester. She came into the field and has remained here from morning to now, except for a short rest in the shelter. God is not looking for the most qualified, the most gifted, the most spiritual, the most intelligent, the best looking. He's looking for those who will remain. Those who will remain. She didn't waver. She didn't falter. Imagine if Ruth had given up before her miracle. Imagine if she'd given up before Boaz arrived. She wouldn't have been in the lineage of Jesus. She wouldn't have been part of the great grandmother of King David. She wouldn't have been. You know what God would have had to do? He would have had to choose someone else. But yet he chose her, yet he chose you. And all he's calling us to do in the middle so that we won't miss out is so that we would remain. God is looking for a people who remain in the middle. Remain in the middle. When others give up faith, when others leave you and you feel alone and isolated, when it's in the place where no longer actually it feels like there's been more hard times than there's been good times, it's in the middle. Don't give up. Don't stop going. It's going to cost you. You're going to suffer. You're going to see more pain than you've ever seen before. But in it, in the middle, God is working out the miracle. In the middle, he's called you to remain. Here's a word for you, verse 8. Boaz says to Ruth, my daughter, my son, listen to me. Don't go to another field. Don't go to a place where you think it's going to be better. Don't go. Don't go away from here. Stay here with the women who work for me. Stay here. The power of staying. The power of remaining. Don't leave. Don't go. Stay here. Where is God calling you to remain? Where is God calling you to be in that place and believing that I'm going to see it? Believing that I'm going to see a move of God in my life, in my nation, through this church to the nations. I'm going to see it but I've got to remain. I got to remain then, do you know what? When I'm offended. I got to remain when my brother and sister in Christ offends me, when the pastor offends me. Guess what we say in Ireland? We say, we're going to offend you, okay? Get over it already. We're going to offend you. We will do it. That's what we do in Ireland. When we love you, we take the offense a little bit deeper and get a little bit more personal. That's what we do. We try and see how thick your skin is. If we love you, we're going to slag you, make fun of you. We're going to beat you down to see how built you are. Hey, guess what? Look around you. You're going to get offended. You're going to get offended. Are you going to remain? You're going to go, God's calling me to the other church. What about when you're not feeling it anymore? You're not feeling it. What about when this church is always asking you for missions and always asking you to go beyond yourself and it's getting ready for Christmas and you're thinking about, well, I wonder what I'm going to get. Maybe God's going, I wonder what you're going to give. I wonder who you're going to bless. Maybe it's going to be sunny in Perth. Maybe God's calling you to Cork in Ireland, where it's not snowing, it's raining. All right, but God's calling you. Those who he rains upon are really his most favorite people. So he rains in Ireland all the time. Where's God calling you? Maybe not just to remain, but then maybe to step out and to move to see others. The move of God is not to be kept to ourselves. That the Spirit of God broke out in Acts chapter 2 in the upper room. It didn't stay in the room. It spilled out into the streets. What was a revival became a revolution. Maybe God has broke out on you, but he's waiting for the Spirit of God to break out through you. Maybe your revival is actually to be more of a revolution where it spills out onto the streets. Where it's about serving your brother and sister in Christ. It's about serving your neighbors. It's about serving your country. It's about serving in missions and wondering, how can I help in Cambodia or in Ireland or in the nations that are yet to come through the church? How can I go? I'll go where you call me to go, Lord. I'll stay where you call me to stay. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. That's when you begin to truly see miracles.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.